is the UR Business Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Making Headway on the URB Business Network. This is your host, John King, president of Headway Strategies Consulting, based here in Boston, bringing you today's show. Making Headway provides individuals, entrepreneurs, executives, and managers with information about emerging or current topics that could have a significant impact on their business and careers. At the conclusion of the show, I'll post a blog which summarizes the show, including some of the graphics and contact information for the host and guests in the event that there are follow-up questions from the listeners. Today, we're going to talk about time strategies, which in my mind has become more critical as individuals and businesses have to interface with technology in our very instantly connected world. Effective time management has some common best practices that apply to everyone, but there are different practices that are required depending on your role in the organization. Essentially, effective time management best practices needs to be adapted to your specific organizational role. Today, I'm joined by Mark Conley, a former partner of mine from CSC, who has had an operational role for many years at CSC. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me, John.
Okay, and our producer today is Mike, who's going to keep us on track and make sure that we don't go over. So we'll start the show off, and I think that the key here is that we're going to cover three different topics today. One is a time strategies workshop, which I offer through my consulting company. We're also going to talk about three different views of time management that I've managed to pull together from some webinars and some books and articles. And then we're going to comment on our experiences in our various roles that we've experienced in the past between Mark and I. I think that's going to be important to get a sense as to how we look at time management differently in some cases rather than others. Mark, you want to talk a little bit about your role at CSC in the operations area?
Absolutely, John. As you mentioned, I've held a number of different roles in the operations area at CSC, specifically in their consulting organization. Really, I was in operations for the last 10 years at CSC. And in that capacity, you know, as you mentioned, there's different types of needs for time management depending on the role. I'll say that from an operations perspective, one of the things that operations team, myself and my team, were readily asked to do was really to juggle a lot of balls in the air at one time. And in theory, you know, don't let any of the balls crashing to the ground, have an elegant landing for all those balls. So, you know, really, and we're going to talk about this as we go through the day today, but right along with the importance of time management is the importance of prioritization, because there's so many different types of tasks. In my case, there were a lot of tactical tasks. Tactical activities are popping up during the course of the day. Some things you knew about on a daily and weekly basis, but other things really cropped up during the course of the day. So time management had to be something that you were able to handle a multitude of things that are coming at you, and then know how to prioritize and juggle those things, and as I mentioned, land them, you know, elegantly in getting things done.
Okay, great. I mean, I had a different role. I was started out as a consultant, and so my time management was focusing on trying to get the delivery of the items that were required for the client that I had at that point. Then I moved into working in a combination business development and service delivery role. So I had to worry about developing proposals, working with clients, trying to figure out what their needs were and putting together the right solution for them, also managing the various aspects of the client relationship that I had to deal with. Both internally and with the client. And then really working with the service delivery aspect of it, of getting the project done within the time frame that we had.
Yeah, maybe I can piggyback on that, John, and just clarify a little bit. I referred to operations and maybe more specific. You know, in my role, largely focused on the consultants that we had and getting the projects that you were selling to the client and then delivering to the client. Our consultants were the people that were oftentimes involved in the delivery of those projects. So when I say operations, it was a lot around. In my case, you know, my most recent role at CSC, I had 1,200 consultants that myself and my team supported, delivering the projects that folks like yourself were selling and overseeing the delivery of for our clients. So that's where the tactical component comes in for me, is supporting the consultants and their needs.
Right, right. You and I had a pretty good challenge one time about 10 years ago when we were trying to get 20 consultants ready for a project in a very short period of time. We managed to do that, but
that's right.
That was through some effective time management. So let's talk a little bit about a time strategies workshop that I found to be pretty effective through my organization. And the way we looked at time management we tried to look at it from three different levels. We looked at it basic organization, effectiveness of the individual, and then some productivity techniques. So I'm going to go through these, and Mark's going to comment a little bit as we go through it. But the first part of the basic organization was we had a philosophy of three D's, and the D's stood for do it, delegate it, or dump it. So depending on the size of your organization, if you're a sole proprietor, you can't do too much delegating, but you can decide to dump things that you can't do in the time frame you have to do them. The other we looked at from a filing approach and how to organize your work, and we had immediate, this week, next week, and when I have time. So those four buckets, if you would, was a way to prioritize what you had. The other thought was is that as you organize these files, to put them up vertically in front of you so that you see them as a representation of what I have to do now as opposed to what I may do later. Effectiveness, I think, is a key one. And as you go through and look at your day and determine your particular style, when are you most effective? And, Mark, I know you and I were both in there early in the morning because that was where we tended to work. You did it for some different reasons than I did, but why don't you go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, well, exactly right. I think, you know, both John and I were probably the first couple of folks in the office. We both worked out of the same physical office for a period of time, and both he and I would typically be the ones turning the lights on in the morning getting in. You know, I think we probably had some similar reasons and maybe some different reasons. First of all, the commuting was much easier first thing in the morning for both of us. But for me, it was really, I needed a little bit of quiet time in the morning, and that's when I found it. So if I was in the office, you know, 7 a.m., 7:30, in the morning before the board lit up, if you will, that gave me some time to kind of prioritize, you know, the things that I already had on my docket for the day, and then those things that maybe popped up overnight, you know, whether it be via email or calls that you may have get across the evening, and do some initial preliminary planning for the day and the week ahead, right? And you don't just do that on a Monday morning because you know that different things are changing. It's a very dynamic environment. So I use that time, the first hour and a half in the morning, as my planning and prioritization time for the things that I knew about and the things that I can anticipate were coming for that day and then for the rest of the week. And it was absolutely critical. Without that quiet time in the morning, I would not have been able to keep all the balls in the air, as was my role.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, I had the commuting issue as well, but it got me in there and got me settled in the morning. The other thing I used to do, and I would find that Sunday nights were very precious to me during the week, because I would take the time to look back and look ahead as to what I needed to do that week. So I'd get a little bit of sense of where I was going or where I thought I wanted to go or could go as I planned things out. So for me, really, if you look at the week, the Sunday night, just getting a little bit organized before I got in there Monday morning, and then throughout the week, getting in there early in the morning gave me a chance to at least settle in, figure out what I needed to do, and maybe send some notes out to people as we went from there, as you work through it. So then we get into really trying to work towards fire prevention versus firefighting. I know a lot of us get into situations where we've got to react to something very quickly because something came up, and we go solve the problem, but we don't really go back to the root cause of why we had to do it. So I think it's important that as you look at your time management aspects, if you do too much firefighting, figure out why you're doing it, and then go back and try to solve that particular problem. The other is, I think, that is consistently planning and prioritizing your to-dos, your items that you have. There's a matrix that it was attributed to Dwight Eisenhower, former president and Army hero. He came up with a matrix that basically was four squares put together. Top of it said urgent, not urgent, and then the vertical axis was important, not important. And by putting those categories in place, you could sort through your to-do list and determine what needed to be done when and whether it was important or not. He had a quote I thought that was kind of interesting. He said, "What's important is seldom urgent, and what's urgent is seldom important." And I think we've all found that as time has gone on, that sometimes people raise that the loudest noise is what gets done. The other is the daily to-do list that I think is real important. And Mark, I know you use Lotus Notes a lot to manage your to-do list.
Yeah, so at CSC, we, you know, everybody's got different tools that they use for emails and to-dos and other things and calendaring. One of the things that I did, because the email was a big piece of my daily to-do list, things that I knew about already and things that came through the gauntlet, if you will, overnight or in the morning, was via email. So there was a way to do some prioritization. So I would be getting hundreds, literally hundreds of emails in a day and overnight sometimes. So I would always try and, you know, make a quick pass through those things, deal with things that I could deal with very quickly. But there was things that needed more time and more thought. And there was a way of putting the, you know, those into a to-do bucket so that I could come back later on and look at all the things I put in the to-do bucket and then reprioritize those things. So that was very helpful, again, because of the volume of transactions that were coming through, specifically in this case in email. And then we're going to talk about further with some other tools that we used and things besides email.
Yeah, and I take an approach right now most recently where I get on first thing in the morning, 6:30, and get up, just look at it real quick and see what has come across the transom, if you would, and at least that helps me get situated. And I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I'll take a quick pass first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I think that's right. And sometimes there's something that is absolutely critical, you know, that came through overnight or in the morning, and you may not have seen it. And that may take precedence as you're doing your prioritization. So that quick prioritization in the morning with the email and some of the to-dos that come out of the email feeds into the planning activity for the day and the week. Because you could have some items that are going to take precedence over things you already plan on doing for the day. So you then may have to, as you just mentioned, delegate something or dump something or push something else off. So that first perusal of your email and what's mission critical in the email is going to affect your planning for the day and the week.
Right. So the weekly planning is you need to also get down to the point where you look at your must-dos and should-dos and sort that out. Appointment calendaring, I think, is very important. I mean, I carry a calendar with me. Try to keep it in sync between my cell phone and my computer and whatever paper I've written down. And sometimes that's a challenge, but you got to do that. And then making sure you get the right things at the right time. And planning for interruptions. I know you and I talked about that there was one person I worked with who used to pop into my office, sit down in the chair, and want to start a half an hour conversation. And that didn't help me with my productivity, but that was one of the things I had to plan for. Avoiding clutter is real important. And then I think the one that I think people feel that they're a hero when they try to multitask, but in reality, that really reduces your effectiveness. And I think that multitasking, you end up with a lower percentage of success with that than if you just focus on the task at hand in getting those things done.
Certainly for certain types of tasks. I mean, I think in today's world, it's almost inevitable that you're going to be required to multitask with it. You mentioned earlier that, you know, always connected mentality, and you get your cell phone and your office phone and your, you know, instant messenger, all the different vehicles, email, everything else. I think there are some types of activities, the more tactical activities that maybe are more conducive to multitasking, and then there's some that just are not.
Yeah.
You're going to be way less effective trying to do really think type, you know, critical, more strategic type activities if you're trying to do it while you're multitasking.
Right, and I think that's, you know, one of the features within the various email systems is to notify you when an email comes across the transom. And if you're trying to work on something that's a project where you're trying to think through it, to have that beep on the phone, I guess it's not a snap, but it's a beep on the computer that says, hey, you got a mail, right? You just can't have that. You got to shut that down.
That's right.
Got to shut that down and focus. So some of the productivity enhancers that or inhibitors, I think, are really important to consider also. You know, used to be in the old days, the telephone, you could look at it. You didn't know that there was – you didn't know the caller ID. Now we all know who the caller ID is unless it's blocked. It can be a real friend or foe. You have to look at the call and decide whether you have time to take it or you want to let it go to voicemail or you want to ignore it completely. Email, the instant reply versus plan time reply. We talked about that. You know, you want to take a perusal through, put them in a to-do list bucket that you can come back and look at later as you have time for it. Instant messaging, I don't have that right now, but I used to. And boy, I tell you, that was crazy because somebody wanted to know something instantly. And it was sort of like going back to what Eisenhower said, that something that's urgent, that's not urgent isn't necessarily urgent, if you would.
I'll chime in on that one as well, John. I'll describe that as both a blessing and a curse, instant messaging. In our case, it was the same time tool within Notice Notes. But, you know, in some capacity, you look at how do we ever do our job without it, right, the way that people came to be dependent upon it. But in other times, you know, there were times when you just had to shut it off. You know, even putting the do not disturb sometimes didn't work because there were certain people that could navigate the do not disturb. So, again, if you're doing those more mission critical, requiring strategic type thinking, you know, I found myself I had to turn off the instant messaging capacity so that I could have some undisturbed think time. The flip side of that is it was absolutely a true blessing because one of my roles and the role of my team was supporting all of our consultants who were spread, you know, nationally and sometimes internationally. And so if they had a mission critical question or a need to be able to get on same time and get to myself or someone on my team was absolutely critical and was a real positive benefit, if you will, in my role in us supporting our teams.
Right. I would think in your case that would be. And we go on to the next one, which is texting, which is cell phone related. And I know the certainly my children text an awful lot. My wife has gotten into texting, and she texts around too. The problem I have with texting is it hits you, and then you got to respond to it. And the question is, how fast do you have to respond to it? So that's something that you need to figure out as you're trying to do your work as to whether you're going to turn texting on or notification of texting or not. Waiting time is another one to take advantage of. I find that helpful sometimes because if you're waiting for an appointment, you've got some time to either continue to prepare for the appointment or you've got some time to think about the myriad of other things that you have to work on. And I used to, from my perspective, I used to be able to try to make phone calls during that period of time. Before Massachusetts enacted the no texting and driving, you could text as you went along, or you could call as you went along. But it really depends on what you're trying to accomplish with that, and can you be effective and safe on the road as you're moving along.
Right, John.
So, Mark, you had some comments on that too, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I did use the commute time. I would say that was kind of an extension, if you will, of my quiet time in the morning, and then also in what kind of a revamp of a recap, if you will, of the day at the end of the day. I periodically would do calls, but what I would tell you is my rule of thumb, just from a wanting to focus on the driving aspect of it, and especially in Boston area traffic, is I was much more inclined to want to participate in a conference call, either listening, you know, and periodically commenting in, rather than hosting a call while I was driving. And from my perspective, at least, hosting a call and facilitating a call, you know, takes a lot more attention. And I wasn't necessarily comfortable. I won't say I never did it, but I preferred to not do it as often as possible. But I use the commuting time a lot as quiet time, you know, especially coming in the morning. So the first 45 minutes or so in the commute I'd use to kind of think through, you know, what I knew about the day, you know, before I got in and saw what new email. So I kind of had a mindset, if you will, of what I thought I had on my docket for today and the coming week. And then I'd get in and take a look at, you know, what transpired overnight with emails and then, you know, adjust accordingly. Likewise, at the end of the day, you know, it was a little bit of a decompression time a lot of times, you know, a lot going on during the day, and it was time to get a little bit of quiet time, think about what you were able to accomplish, would you maybe have to move from today to tomorrow, what did you not get done, what might you need to delegate. I was, you know, blessed with a tremendous operations team, so if I felt like I was personally overloaded, I felt very confident delegating things to folks on my team, and I might do that. If I didn't get to something, that might be when I make a call on my way home to somebody on my team and say, look, I didn't get to this today, can you take it as a top priority item to address tomorrow morning?
Right.
So that's how I use that time.
And I want to add one other point. When I was in a CIO role a number of years ago, I used to call the data center on the way in the morning. And you say, why would you want to do that? Well, because if the reports didn't run, if something didn't run the night before, then I knew how much trouble I was in when I got into the office in the morning, and I was able to at least alert some people that we could or could not have a problem. I also found it a good way to leave voicemails for people to things I wanted to try to address during the day, and they could get them to me when they got in. So it can be very helpful if you take advantage of it. You certainly, as you said, you need some quiet time to think about what you want to do as opposed to going, you know, constantly going 100 miles an hour. Meetings, I think, are another one that can be a blessing in disguise. We've got, the issue that I think pops up with this: when you schedule a meeting, you've got to prep for it. You need to schedule it. You need to manage it. You need to manage the outcome. I think a lot of times that meetings can be just redundant, and you just kind of sit there and listen to something without any real structure to it. And I think that's something that if you're running a meeting, you need to structure it, or if there's no structure to it, you need to figure out a way that you can add some structure or not attend the meeting, if you would.
Yeah, I know in our time at CSC, meetings became synonymous with conference calls, right, because we were a distributed organization in both nationally and internationally, and we were, you know, both bouncing, you know, from conference call to conference call to conference call. And again, being prepared for those and having an agenda and being able to be effective in those is important, whether you're hosting or you're participating. But you know, the conference call mania, if you will, is certainly heavily prevalent in the marketplace.
Yeah. I think one of the last things I wanted to talk about on top of productivity enhancers, inhibitors, was really learning to say no. And that's something I know I've had challenges with over the years, and trying to help people out and pick on another task that maybe I don't have time for, but figuring how to do it. I think the risk there is that you're trying to want to please all. That may be part of your self-image where you want to be very helpful, but it requires some type of behavior change. And I think that relates back to the types of goals that you set as you try to pull together what you're doing in a workplace.
Well, I think you're right. And prioritization, I think, plays a big part of that too, John. And a lot of times people can say, look, you know, I'm happy to take on task X, but I've also got, you know, tasks A, B, and C that are all deemed as equally important. Help me, you know, Mr. My Manager, Mr. My Peer, help me to determine where the importance lies, and so that I can appropriately shift things around, right? I can work on X if it's more important than A, B, or C. You help me to determine which of those is going to push to the next day or the next week.
And remember where that is. I think that's real important. And you got to do that with your customers too. I think that's that we talked about customer loyalty a couple shows ago, but that's one you've got to try to work with as well. So I wanted to add a couple more. I mean, this material we just covered really was about the time strategies workshop that I work with different clients on. But I wanted to give you a different perspective and some other people that have some ideas. And one that caught my eye was a webinar that came from madofficehero.com. Now, it's a pretty unique name. And they basically said a couple things. They said, you know, what's the best use of your first hour at work? And they said, resist your email, which is contrary to what you and I talked about. Do the boring stuff first to achieve something. So you've got a success under your belt and you feel you really have the day going. And then plan the rest of your day. Identify two priorities for the day. Write them down and block the schedule to accomplish them. So their perspective is let's not get buried in email to start with. Let's do something that's really boring, get it done, get something accomplished, and then plan the rest of your day. If you can do that in the first hour, I think that could work. I don't know that I totally agree with it, but it's a different perspective, and I think that you have to determine whether that works for you or not.
That's right. I think different strategies probably work well for different types of roles. I
mean, that's right.
My operations role had a lot of tactical activities. I think maybe not as conducive to that one, but one of the following ones you're going to discuss.
Yeah, I think it does. And then in the blog, there is a link to that website if you want to go explore it further. The other one I wanted to talk about was an article in Entrepreneur Magazine. They had 10 tips on how to do your time management, and it was pretty straightforward. Some of the things we talked about already. They talked about carrying a schedule, creating to-do lists, set up blocks of time to complete. And I think that's important. Devote 50% of your time to thought activities. Schedule time for interruptions. And, Mark, I know you had to deal with that a lot in your role, and I did in a previous role, so maybe you could comment on that.
Yeah, and again, as I briefly alluded to earlier, part of my role was I was and my team was a support mechanism for our 1,200 consultants. So we wanted to make ourselves available. We were really also the communication mechanism between the company, CSC, and the 1,200 consultants. So, you know, if they were, you know, running into a problem or having a question about a policy or, you know, whatever it might be, we wanted to be available to and most of our consultants were out working on projects at client sites. So, you know, we had to make ourselves available when our consultants could be available and could have a conversation. So we you know, the nature of the beast of our role was to be able to be flexible and move things during the day. So if somebody pinged me and need to have a quick discussion, you know, to the degree I could make it happen, I tried to do it. I tried on it, and my team did as well.
Okay. And I agree. I mean, I think next thing they talked about was 30 minutes daily for planning. And you and I have talked about that a couple times already. And I think that's real critical. The other one is take 5 minutes before a call or meeting to plan your desired end result. So just don't pick up the phone and call somebody and, you know, rattle around. Just think about what you're trying to get out of it before you get the call started. The other is use a do not disturb sign judiciously. I don't know that I would recommend that depending on the office that you're in.
I would use the virtual do not disturb sign fairly frequently, particularly when it comes to instant messaging and email. you know, that can be, and it's the messenger more so because it's kind of a current state, right? If folks are trying to get a hold of you and you're in, working on something either strategic where you need kind of undisturbed think time, or you're in the middle of a critical meeting, that do not disturb on your instant messenger lets people know that you're in the middle of something and they need to come back later.
Yeah, I think that works, I think, but to hang a sign in your office is probably a little bit much. Block out distractions. From Facebook, LinkedIn, and other social media, I think that goes without saying. And remember, it's impossible to get everything done. So 20% of your thoughts equal 80% of your results is their activity. About 6 months ago, I sat in on a webinar that Peter Bergman did. He wrote a book called 18 Minutes to Manage Your Day. And his was all about focusing on what you're trying to do during the day. But he listed a couple challenges, and he said that, you know, in today's world, we sleep less. And he says, you know, 4 hours sleep over 4 days equals legal drunkenness. Now, I hadn't thought about that, but I know that there are times when, you know, I haven't gotten a lot of sleep, and I don't think I'm blind strung drunk, but I do feel tired and maybe not as effective.
Yeah, I definitely feel the impact when you get a few days without sleep. Again, I don't know about drunkenness, but you can feel the impact. I feel like I'm rolling a little slower than typical.
Yeah. And then we rush. We try to, you know, we can achieve success 5 times when we take the time to think about it. So if you just kind of do something quickly and don't really think about how you want to get there, and I found that to be a real key thing. And multitasking, we talked about multitasking with the various things. He said if you multitask a lot, you're going to drop 10 points in an IQ level, so you're not going to be as effective with that. So he came up with a couple approaches, and I'll post these examples in the blog, but basically he came up with a 6-box to-do list. And basically he said, I want to have one box that says client list, client work. The other is speeches and promoting my ideas, new business opportunities, creative expression, nurturing myself and my family, and then the other 5%. And what he did was annually he said, this is what I want to do. And then he would decompose that into an activity calendar for each day. And he would work through it. I think that's kind of an interesting approach, and it helps you with your prioritization, which we talked about before. Now, whether you use the Eisenhower method we talked about early on or not, this is one way to get that in, get that prioritization done. As we go through it,
I think that 18 minute concept probably mirrors most closely how, you know, you and I talked about this the other day, how I, you know, can tackle the day, right? Some time in the morning to kind of assess where you are, a minute, an hour a day, or whatever time it might be to kind of adjust as you go, and then a recap of a couple of minutes at the end of the day. I think that concept, the times may change, is similar. That worked well for me.
Yeah, and I found I tried to mimic that as well. And what his 18 minutes were 5 minutes planning at the beginning of the day, and then a minute for every hour that you work. Now, he was assuming an 8-hour day. Some of us, I think, work longer than that. But if you look at that, so 8 and 5 is 13, and then 5 minutes at the end of the day to figure out what went well, what didn't go well, who you've got to notify, what you want to change, what you want to put on the schedule for tomorrow. And that 5 minutes added on to the 13 gets you 18. So that was his whole concept. Okay. So the takeaway that I have from all this is that effective time management is a personal choice. It's a goal achievement issue. And your goals need to be set up in line with the organization and the tasks that you're trying – and your role in the organization that you're trying to work in. And I think the other piece is everyone has 24 hours a day to work with. You choose how you want to spend it. And I think sometimes during the day you need a break. So if something, you know, a butterfly flies across the window and you want to go chase a butterfly, go do that for a couple, you know, minutes or an hour or whatever it takes. But you can balance that to get your mind back and thing. Mark, any closing comments that you want to add at this point?
No, John, I think the important thing, so obviously time management plugs in real well with a couple of the prior topics that you and I have discussed on goal setting and then achieving your goals. To me, the things that are critical that make time management work, for me at least, are prioritization, planning, and flexibility. If I had to pick 3 things, those are the 3 components, along with time management, that allow me to make time management work.
Okay.
You need to be able to prioritize, you need to be able to plan, and you need to be flexible. You got to be able to move stuff around.
Right, all right, right, absolutely. So our goal today was to provide you with several suggestions how to improve your personal time management practice and to help make you more successful personally as well as organizationally. However, recognize that time management is an ongoing challenge. And I want to give you a quote to close with from Lee Iacocca. Lee Iacocca saved Chrysler before Mercedes-Benz bought it and before Fiat bought it. But back in the late 80s, early 90s, he was involved in Chrysler. And he said, if you want to make good use of your time, you've got to know what's most important and give it all you got. So, I mean, it's really focusing on your goal, what you're trying to accomplish, and prioritize things accordingly. So in closing, Mark, thanks very much for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. And Mark can be reached at mconley911@gmail.com. And I'd like to thank Mike for keeping us on track and letting us know when we were getting ready to go over. And I can be reached at jking@headway-strategies.com. So I want to thank all the guests for listening. And remember, if you have additional topics you'd like to see us cover on Making Headway, please reach out to me and I'll work to see that we get them on there. So this is John King on the UR Business Network, reminding you to continue to listen to Making Headway, because remember, we can help you make headway. Thank you.
The UR Business Network. We mean business.